All right, Dr. Ryan Banks in from Avera Medical Group. Doc, good morning. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about sleep apnea.
Yeah, and as we're getting back to school, and I thought we'd talk about just sleep in general to start with, and it's kind of going to be an adjustment, a big adjustment, more so than usual for a lot of people. And as we talk about sleep and sleep recommendations, I thought it'd be good to review just recommended amounts of sleep for people.
Right.
So for kids, when we talk younger school-age children, we're looking at ages 6 to 13, recommended amounts of sleep is about 9 to 11 hours. When you talk about teenagers, we're looking goals of about 8 to 10 hours, and then adults, a goal would be 7 to 9. I know it doesn't always happen that way. Right. I know it doesn't happen for me all the time, but that's a good goal to shoot for.
So, I know for 57-year-olds, it's about 6 hours at night, and then 2 at noon, and then...
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, wherever you can get it. That works. So, yeah, as you mentioned, we're going to talk... Those are just some good reminders, but we're going to talk about sleep apnea, which is a sleep disorder that can basically affect your breathing while you're sleeping. And what happens is you actually get some obstruction in your airway, and that can cause some mild disruption or even some severe disruption of your sleep. It's something that can happen multiple times throughout the night and can lead to a lot of different complications that arise.
You bet. So what causes sleep apnea?
So what happens as somebody's sleeping, their airway starts to, as you relax, it can obstruct itself where it's not exchanging air normally, and this can happen because of deformities in tissue. Sometimes you'll see it in people that have large tonsils. It can happen from large adenoids. That's one of the situations. Usually think of this as a situation that is involving adults, but sometimes you'll see this in kids because of tonsils being one of the more common things. Other things that can make you more prone, obesity is a big thing. As you think of having more weight pushing down on your neck, that can cause that airway to close down. There are some medications that can cause you to be a little bit more prone to this, where maybe they cause you to be a little more relaxed or more sleeping more deeply. Alcohol also can sometimes make you more prone to this as well.
All right. So what are the symptoms that might lead or might point towards sleep apnea?
So if it's maybe, this is actually sometimes a thing that people aren't real aware of because obviously a lot of this is happening while you're sleeping. But things that you're looking for is excessive daytime sleepiness. Typically, you're not feeling rested when you get up for the day. You may have more frequent headaches. You may be getting up more during the night to urinate, and that can be multiple reasons. It could be that you're actually having to get up to urinate, but sometimes you're actually waking and not realizing that's why you're awakening. And then like, I'm awake, I might as well go to the bathroom. But other things can include... If you have somebody that has seen you sleeping, they may even notice that sometimes you'll stop breathing in your sleep, or very loud snoring is a big thing that you're looking for with that as well. And then there may be some even like gasping for air at times, and a fairly restless tossing and turning, legs moving a lot, some of those kind of things. It's a little harder to find symptoms in kiddos, but you may notice that again more frequent wakening, restlessness, and sometimes they're breathing through their mouth more often as well.
Yeah, and it can not only disrupt your the person that is suffering from sleep apnea, but also your partner or roommate.
For sure.
Yes. I know.
And oftentimes that is the situation, that somebody else maybe may bring this to your attention, that, oh, you actually are stopping breathing in your sleep, or you have to go to the basement to sleep to get away from your snoring.
Sure. So what happens with sleep apnea?
Yeah, so it can be a big thing, and it can contribute to a lot of other conditions. As we said, just in general, you often will feel not rested. And so if you go throughout your day just tired and fatigued, that can impact your work quality and your mood. And it makes you more prone for things like high blood pressure. It can make you more prone for heart attack and stroke. And, if you're dealing with excessive drowsiness, as we said, you're a little higher risk for mood disorders, decrease work performance, school performance, and can even make you more prone for car accidents if you're just drowsy all the time when you're sleeping.
And there's, so what increases your risk?
Yeah, so as we said, definitely weight can be a factor here, and so obesity can be part of that. It does tend to be more common as people get older, so age is a part of it as well. It's more common in men, and if you have family history, there can be some component of that as well. And then other things, as far as we said, it is more common in men, but in women, sometimes it's a little bit more common after they go through menopause. And then along with the things we talked about with obesity, also this a specific part of that is the neck circumference, the size around your neck. The bigger neck that you have, the more prone you are for that. And then we talked about a little bit of that before, too, about enlarged tissues like tonsils and adenoids. If you have those enlarged, that can make you more prone. And then using things like sedatives or alcohol, some of that kind of stuff, and smoking can make you more prone as well.
All right, so when should we talk to our healthcare provider about this?
Yeah, so if this is something that you are suspicious of, or your partner's brought this to your attention, it's worth bringing up at your a doctor visit, because as I said, it can make you more prone for a lot of fairly significant things, raising your blood pressure, make your risk of stroke and heart attack higher. And so treating sleep apnea appropriately is something that's worthwhile. So if there is suspicion of this, or if you don't have somebody that's been around you while you're sleeping, if you just feel excessively drowsy throughout the day, or you notice that you're waking up frequently through the night and don't feel rested, that's something that's worth bringing up.
All right. And of course, you do a number of exams and tests, and we actually have a sleep apnea center here at the Vera St. Anthony.
Yeah. And so the main way it's diagnosed is through sleep study. You know, we'll do some history to kind of tease out the things that we think are some of those risk factors, and look for things like your neck circumference and weight, and look for large tonsils, some of those kind of things. But yeah, ultimately to get the diagnosis is a sleep study. And as Scott said, there's a sleep lab here at the hospital, that's something that you can coordinate with your doctor to do that. We may look for some other things that may make you, fatigue during the day or things like that. But if there's suspicion of a sleep apnea disorder, then that would be something that we would pursue a sleep study typically.
Right. And treatment options, what's available? Yep.
So where one of the biggest risk factors is weight and obesity, losing weight can actually make a big difference in this, and can actually resolve sleep apnea by losing enough weight. Sometimes limiting some things like sedatives and alcohol prior to bed can also be beneficial. And then just also giving yourself enough time to get sleep. If you are already shorting yourself on the amount of sleep that you're getting, and then your quality of that sleep that you are getting, it's just going to compound the symptoms even further. And then if it is something that's felt to be a tissue thing, like we talked about, like enlarged tonsils, enlarged adenoids, sometimes having surgery to remove those can actually resolve the sleep apnea. And then ultimately, you probably are aware of somebody that uses a CPAP, but basically it's a mask that you wear while you sleep that has continuous pressure blown through it to help keep the airway open. And that's probably one of the main treatments that we use for sleep apnea as well.
All right. And again, there's some things they can do at home too, right?
Yeah. So ultimately, prevention, keeping a healthy weight, exercising.
Maybe even changing the position of how you sleep. Yes, if you need to tilt your bed up a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. And a lot of times people are more prone for this when they're on their back. It's hard sometimes to control the position that you're in while you sleep, but if you're able to be on your side more, some people only have sleep apnea symptoms really when they're on their back. So, this is a big deal, and if you have concerns about it, I think it's worthwhile talking to your healthcare provider when you see them.
All right, Doc, appreciate you coming in this morning, and have a great week.
Yeah, good luck at school, everyone.
You betcha. Dr. Ryan Banks, Mavera Medical Group here in O'Neill.